from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
I mentioned that the schedule would be Monday, but we didn't do it this Monday.
Well, it was Easter.
It was Easter.
It was Easter. It was the day that Jesus did something.
Well, actually, Monday doesn't count. Monday's not part of the whole Easter thing. But typically what happens is most companies and work offices, what they do is they just include the Monday as part of like a huge, bam, Easter package. Like, have the whole religion thing and take the Monday off. Yeah, to just even have a break from religion.
I don't know. I don't know anybody that's getting like a four-day weekend
anymore.
Yeah,
well, anymore. That's just because we're North American, man. This is the kind of stuff happens in Europe, all right?
Oh, in Europe they have the Monday off as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody that I knew that was in the UK had the Monday off. All the French take the Monday off. Well, they take like five weeks of vacation.
The French take every single opportunity. I'm amazed that anything happens there other than strikes and riots. Because that's all I hear is unemployment is really high and no one's saying it's hard to tell the difference between unemployed and employed because everybody's just, you know, it's like...
Well, you know why the unemployment rate is so high over there? Because you have to give mandatory vacations like 5 weeks for a person who just starts during the year. You don't want to go on a limb for these people. I mean, what if they're terrible employees? It's like you don't want to pay a terrible employee 5 weeks of vacation per year. You just don't want to do that. So, of course, all the shitty employees are like, what's going on? No one wants to hire me. Yeah, you've left three different jobs in the past little while. It's like whenever you have a system like that with a gigantic safety net, forget tiny safety net. Forget like 1 week vacation a year. 5 weeks, bam, in your face.
I don't know. Is France really that messed up? I mean, we all laugh at the fact that they seem to be kind of crazy, but, you know, I think they probably have it decently good. If you're not like... One of those immigrants living in the French ghettos, the new big... That seems to be the big thing in France now is stuffing everybody they don't like into ghettos. But, I mean, outside of the ghettos, it ain't bad.
Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to actually take yesterday to do a little bit of research about Easter because there was something fundamental that I realized about Easter. I don't really know when it's supposed to come. And I decided, like, what... I wanted to find out how do they calculate Easter. And it turns out if you want to try to calculate, you have to go to this really complicated site where you enter it. And it is an algorithm to calculate Easter.
When Easter happens?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. This is the interesting thing about Easter. And this is the segue that I want to go into. This is where my research comes in.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, research.
Right. Well, here's the great thing about Easter is it's one of those things that at first wasn't a big deal. I mean, back in the old days, before the Council of Nicaea, this is in the early days of the church, no one was really sure when to celebrate Easter. You had some groups that were basically celebrating it on the 14th of Nisan, which is a month in the Jewish calendar, which is the day before Passover begins. Passover is a seven-day period of time where you eat unleavened bread. For some damn reason.
Is this Nissan like the car Nissan?
No, it's only got one S.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of like Mazda is a god. Did you know this?
No, I did not.
Oh, you did not know that?
No.
It's an ancient god of Zoroastrianism.
Man, it's so sad that he got his name put on such lame little cars.
Yeah, he was a pretty major god. And Zoroastrianism was the religion of the world for a while. And now he's a car. So don't be surprised if in year 3000 you're driving a good old Jesus.
An economically sound vehicle.
Okay, so basically there was no real... I mean, there was some tension between sort of the East and the West.
East and West what?
Well, of Christianity, because typically there are two branches. There's the one that's sort of like more of the West.
The civilized, laid-back, happy-go-lucky, and then the Easterns are what? The Orthodox, no fun.
The Orthodox, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the no fun, still living by the Julian calendar. Do you know how messed up that calendar is? Mm-hmm. They used to have 13 months to it. One of the months used to be an extra month that you'd have just every few leap years that you'd just stuff with days. It's a mess. They even have a month called Sextus.
I like that. I'm down with that.
I like that one, yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. And most of the days have like 29 days. you know, like weird number days. Anyways, that's actually why the Easter is different for Eastern Orthodox and Western.
Is this because they have to go back and look at different calendars and figure out what day it is in the old retardarian calendar?
Well, it's just because some people wanted to keep calculating along the lines of the Hebrew calendar. Others said, we don't want the stick in Hebrew calendar. We want... Because here's the big problem. Basically, when you had it on the 14th of Nisan, the problem was that it would always be different days every year. Just like, you know, one year of the February 13th is going to be on a Friday, and the year after that it'll be on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And on a leap year, you jump to a Monday. So you never have the same damn day to celebrate Easter. And a lot of people were like, well, Sunday is supposed to be a sacred day. They say that, well, Jesus was crucified on a Friday, and he resurrected on the Sunday. That's supposed to be the whole thing.
Yeah.
And obviously that's...
But obviously their Fridays and our Fridays aren't the same, so it's actually kind of retarded that everybody's trying to... Well, it has to be Friday and Sunday. It's like, you realize several hundred years ago, Friday and Sunday didn't exist.
Well, I mean, they had...
Not in the same way that they do now.
No, not in the same way, but I mean, a 24-hour day was a 24-hour day. People they were able to figure that one out. It's just that specifically the whole thing about Sunday is that Sunday's important to Christians because it's not specifically a Saturday, which is sacred to the Jews. Mm. It's like you don't want to associate yourself with Jews. You're like Jews light. You know, you're like diet Jew. Mm. So, you know, diet Jew's flavor wants to be slightly different. So you drink diet Jew on Sunday. Mm. But here's the funny thing. Basically... at one point, this is at 190 AD, where this one guy, his name is Victor, that's it, Victor of Rome. Basically, he excommunicated all of Asia, Christian Asia, for not celebrating Passover on, Friday or Sunday. And that almost split the church right in half when he did that. But everybody calmed him down and said, dude, chill out. Then in the Council of Nicaea, they try to get like the creed going on. They're like, this is going to be the official day. But again, everybody's using different calendars, so no one can, you know, get along. And it just tears it apart. In 1997 was the final time that they tried to nail it down, tried to get both Eastern and Western, or like churches, to agree on the day for Easter. And it made sense. They were like, it will be their first full moon after the vernal equinox. Mm. Like, that was going to be the plan. And it was supposed to go into effect 2001, which is when the Gregorian and the Julian calendar were going to meet perfectly, and they fucked it up. Because the Eastern Orthodox were like, well, it's too it resembles too much like the Western tradition of Easter, and we have to change ours, and we don't want to do that, so we're not going to do it.
Well, I can understand. I mean, here's the whole thing. You got one group that's trying to go for that, who's basically saying, you know, this whole confusing whatever, it's making Easter kind of hard on our marketability thing, you know? So they want to change it to something simple, but all these stuffy Orthodox guys are probably saying, we still need it to be on the exact date because that matters to us. So
I just don't think that they wanted to... They viewed it as Western oppression on their Eastern Orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, dude, it's a damn day in the calendar, and it certainly made the most sense.
Well, does that mean that they were celebrating Easter yesterday?
No, they have their own complicated formula. If you want to find out what it is, you got to go online, type it in, and it's going to make a really really crazy calculation, because again, they're using a different calendar than we use.
But,
and that's not as obvious as you think, making those kinds of calculations. Months have different days.
But here's the deal. Wasn't the whole thing just supposed to be they dumped Easter on top of another pagan holiday in order to basically rob it of all pagan meaning?
Well, the pagan holiday is basically just that of the vernal equinox, you know. I believe the name has its root in sort of like Germanic traditions of celebrating both the hare, which is like the symbol of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
So they celebrate that, which is why you see the bastardization of it now.
But every culture
celebrates spring in some form or another. So you're like, hey, our religion is a spring festival. What a fucking surprise. You know, if you look at the myth of Jesus, sort of like dying and then resurrecting, I mean, don't you feel like spring is a period of resurrection when plants come back, life comes back? I mean, it's a pretty simple homily if you think about it.
Mm.
So, yeah, of course, every culture is going to have some form of celebrating the fact that it's no longer freaking winter. You know, and that's kind of like, that's the slow realization we're having too here. More sun, slightly warmer weather, and there's no more snow in our backyard.
Yep.
And that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, that was our big moment. That was the big yay. Easter is good, just basically because it means that I can finally wash away the stink of winter on my clothes. And to celebrate, we went over to my mom's, ate some delicious food, and had probably one of the best pecan pies that I've ever had in my life. That pecan pie was sickly good.
It was an orgasm in my mouth. I want more.
It was, how did we describe it? It was as though, you know, God was basically jizzing in our mouths. It was just, it was totally awesome.
I could poop it out and eat it again, and it would still be better than most of everything that I eat otherwise.
Okay, here's the next thing I want to talk about is kind of something that I found a little bit hilarious. Pastor Rick Warren, you remember Rick Warren? He's the guy that inaugurated Barack Obama.
Yeah, Rick Warren was hot shit back when Barack Obama was getting his whole religious whatever on.
Well, now you mean Rick Warren wants to stay in the news, you know? He said that whole young pastor guy who wants to create himself a legacy Pat Robertson.
Not that young.
I guess compared to most of the pastors.
Yeah, it's true, because most of them like 70 years old plus?
Oh, yeah. There's that kind of like one generation, you know, the Billy Graham's kind of generation, yeah, which is just
ancient old.
They look like the Emperor from Star Wars point.
They look like beef jerky.
The rebels will be crushed. You know, like, that's what they sound like. So basically, Rick Warren's got, you're a bit of a fat, jolly guy with a beard look, so he doesn't look too threatening.
He doesn't look gay like Ted Haggard does.
No, Ted Haggard was so definitely gay. There was no question in my mind. His behavior, unusually gay. But what was interesting about this one article, I put up a link to it on the site, was the fact that he said, he quoted a book by this guy called Paul Vitz, who states, like, this is somehow, like, this is a serious topic that he's trying to put through, that the reason that atheists don't believe in God is because they have bad relationships with their fathers. He took a look at, like, 5 or 6 major profile atheists and said, look at these guys, they had bad relationships with their fathers. And I'm like, that is poor. That is a very poor conclusion. That is the laziest kind of, oh, well, obviously, if you hate your dad, you'll hate God kind of attitude. Mm. I'm like, you think religious people don't hate their dads? Jeez, man. Half the people out there hate their dads. That's nothing new, man. Mm. Nothing new under the sun. I'm lucky, I find, that I have a healthy relationship with my father. I think I'm in the minority in just terms of people. Like, how many individuals have, like, serious issues? My mom has issues with her dad. My dad had issues with his dad, who then died upside down in a chair because he was drunk and he fell in an awkward position and basically died.
He fell into his rocking chair and died. Oh, well, that was good.
Yeah, that's fun.
Show's over.
Show's over.
We're gonna edit that out?
Yeah, we're gonna edit that out.
He died in a rocking chair. He fell into the rocking chair and got stuck and died there, right?
That's right.
Wow.
He died an ignoble death.
For some reason, I feel like we've already talked about this before, because I'm sure I must have told the story about how my grandfather died drowning a cat.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never really, how many deaths are really either noble or not embarrassing or, you know, just glorious in any kind of way. I suppose the ones that are glorious are the frightening ones. Like, oh, glorious death. I put a bunch of bombs next to me and I jumped in front of a school bus full of kids. Glory to death, to Allah, glory to me. Maybe everybody should have more deaths drowning cats. It's a lot less violent, you know, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Anyways, I thought it was like a pretty ridiculous thing to say. I mean, it shows that there's really no understanding on the part of Rick Warren, his ilk, as to why people just don't believe in God. They must think, wow, you really must have a deficient relationship with people if you're not going to believe in God. It's a pretty standard way to think.
Do you figure this is the beginning of a new tack where they're going to stop arguing the facts with atheists and start basically trying to argue about the atheists themselves? Like, in the idea of saying, okay, well, you are an atheist and I'm not going to argue with you about your beliefs about whether or not God exists or not. I'm just going to say you have a poor relationship with your father. You're generally angry. Remember all the atheist stereotypes?
Once again,
that whole thing of, well, who gives a damn what these atheists say, because they were obviously molested and they have miserable relationships with everybody and they're just terrible people in general.
Of course they must, because they are full of hate in their hearts. Mm. Which leads me to the next topic that I wanted to talk about, which was this one guy by the name of Anthony Powell, who basically, he was known as Tony48219 on YouTube. And this guy was, you know, had recorded, I don't know how many, you know, anti-atheist rants and stuff like that. Crazy, crazy rants. I mean, I think I watched four or five of them, and there wasn't one that was sane, okay? They were both, you know, scary and insane, like, at least in my mind. So he goes over to his community college with a shotgun and kills a girl called Asia McGowan, who was this 20-year-old girl who dreamed of becoming kind of like a dancer slash actress, kind of like most dumb 20-year-olds probably have that kind of like, I want to be in Step Up 3 the Street or something.
Of being the next Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez. But one of the things, I don't know if you, I showed you the video, but one of the things that I decided to do is actually I was looking at Asia's own YouTube videos to kind of see if I could get a feeling for what the dynamic of the relationship would have been between a guy like Tony.
Like the kind of conversation that they would have
had, yeah, exactly. Because they were
based
in the same
class.
Based
on their personalities.
Based on their personalities. They had the same class. And one of the videos that I thought was interesting was Asia going around. She had a video that was basically calling out haters and telling them to stop trying to force their beliefs on other people. Mm-hmm. Which is an interesting thing because on the other side, you have Tony, who's quite clearly a hater, who's going around saying like, oh, atheists aren't people, they're like dogs, you know, they're full of hate. I think he called at one point Hell's fallen angel or Satan's fallen angel or something like that.
And Satan's fallen angels.
Yeah, and he had a very dehumanizing attitude towards atheists, even though he was obviously saying, well, they're the monsters, but they're not even human. And I even have to wonder, I'm like, did Asia have the unfortunate happenstance of saying, I don't believe in God? Like, could you even imagine? I mean, I know that he had a fascination and or obsession with this girl, so who knows what kind of conversation they had. And in one of his videos, he was saying, like, oh, a woman should be submissive towards a man and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that is definitely not the kind of read that I got out of Asia. You know, the kind of girl would say, like, fuck that noise.
Yeah.
No man's going to have control over me. And you're like, oh, recipe for disaster. Crazy religious guy who's already said that he wants to kill himself with a shotgun. And girl of his obsession. What is that a recipe for? Fucking disaster. Consider the fact that also a number of bloggers had reported to the police the fact that he was both suicidal and, you know, going on these insane rants. But, I mean, I'm sure this guy who obviously needed medication thought to himself, well, I just need to believe in God and re-strengthen my relationship with him and I'll be fine.
Well, I want to make sure we don't fall into the trap of, because this is the same kind of trap that religious people try and drop on us, and it drives me nuts, is the whole, you know, Stalin was an atheist and Mao was an atheist and look at what they did. And this guy here is obviously, you know, was a very religious person, and he was pretty crazy, but I kind of think that this is a story of a crazy person who happened to be religious rather than a religious crazy person.
I don't
know.
You know
what I mean?
I don't know. Because here's the I mean, it is a feeling that I have. I mean, I don't have all the facts, but it seemed as though the bulk of his anger was really directed towards, you know, towards religious aspects, towards a worldview that was shaped by religion.
Mm.
You know, I think probably one of the problems that he was having was just the consolidation of obviously these very Bronze Age beliefs with, you know, kind of like modern society that just doesn't take any of that shit seriously anymore. We don't seriously believe that women should be submissive towards a man and not accomplish anything other than just basically being, a mule for them to carry fucking goods and services. You know, we have a little bit more of an advanced attitude towards women. But, I mean, my whole thing, and the reason why I'm tempted to sort of like say, well, this is cause, or at least this is part of it, is just because of how much it fueled his anger. You know, like, if I'm an atheist, definitely if I'm an anti-theist, that can fuel some of my rage and outrage. Non-belief, like, that doesn't fuel much. It has to be sort of a strong belief against something that at least incites you towards hate. I mean, I won't deny that there are anti-theists that are very fucking angry people out there that want to say, oh, religion sucks, and so on and so forth. But those aren't atheists. Those are anti-theists. Those are people that want to actively, you know, disband and destroy religion. on some days I'm like this. But generally, I wouldn't say that it's my non-belief that leads me to action. It leads me to no actions. It leads me to say, this is ridiculous, and I'm not going to believe in this. I'm not going to dwell on it. It's just my reaction towards, say, strong belief can sometimes sort of like give me anti-theist attitudes when I see, well, this is the phenomenon that is prevalent, you know, that a person who is ensconced in a religious attitude and delusion can, you know, is often free of scrutiny from the rest of society.
Well, here's a question for you. Do you feel that there is a narrative right now going on that basically kind of implies that, say, liberals and atheists and other kind of left-leaning, like, and homosexuals and other left-leaning individuals basically, there's a narrative kind of going on where maybe it's okay to kill these people? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
in the media, like, we had that situation with that guy who used to listen to all of the crazy right-wing radio stations. He went into a church because it was too liberal and shot it up, right?
Yeah.
And so now you've got another situation where a guy like this, a person who clearly dehumanized, because that's one part where I'll agree with you, listening to him talking about what his feelings were about atheists and where he was basically saying, you know what, we shouldn't call them humans. We have to call them humans, but we shouldn't. And at that point, you're like, wow, this person here obviously has two very different standards as to how he feels about, say, atheists and everyone else.
Well, consider the fact that if, let's replace his name, like the word atheist, like what he was saying about atheists, and just replace it with Jews. If those same messages had been said about Jews, we would have called the police immediately, saying, like, this guy is on record saying that Jews are inhuman, that they need to be put down, that they are the angels of the devil. I mean, alarm bells would go off. But we just don't, you know, like, there's not that same attitude of viewing atheists as a minority that can be, you know, in danger of some of the more, you know, fundamentalist individuals that just see us as a real enemy, as see us, you know, the same way that he described him. And there's a narrative forming, yeah, you're right, that, you know, we are inhuman, we are not worthy of living, just basically because we have apparently been an affront to God by not believing in all the bullshit. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see, sort of like more. I mean, I believe that they're going to be more towards the fringe of society. Like, well, obviously,
I think
the fringe is going to continue to push back and back and back. But once in a while, they pop. Fundies pop.
You're going to have two different classes of people: those who believe and those that don't. And everybody on the those that don't level, I think you're just going to see a lot of attitudes. It's kind of the same way where you have people working who are just like, oh, these welfare bums, they're just complete. It's that,
like,
same.
You know what it is?
That casual disdain that is becoming more and more prevalent within the groups of people who are in who have faith against people who don't.
Well, look again. I want to use the example of Jews as a classic example of the Nazis dehumanized them by creating a very caricaturistic picture of what Jews were, you know, like those old drawings, gigantic noses, really curly hair, always around bags of money, always looking evil and sinister. And that was just because you needed to have an immediate association. When you thought Jew, you thought sinister. Mm-hmm. Right? And I wouldn't be surprised if something similar was starting to happen, where people were like, look at atheists, they're sinister, they're evil, they're corrupt. And so long as people start believing that, so long as people start saying that and aren't being called on it, aren't being called saying, you guys are fucking bigoted, like, you need to seriously listen to yourself. And I mean, this goes across the board. Any atheist that says that about religious people has a serious freaking problem. And of course, you know, call the cops when everyone is saying, Christians aren't human, we fucking should, you know, kill them all. Yeah, of course you should have that kind of attitude. It's a worrisome attitude. Human beings shouldn't be dehumanizing any human being. All right, that is the difference between prejudice and true racism. Is in racism, there is like a call to arms. You know, prejudice might
call
be like,
action.
Well, yeah, call to action. Prejudice might be, well, I don't really trust these people. Sometimes that can kind of be understood of anyone that's not in your in-group. You know, there's definitely obviously a natural tendency towards mistrust. But racism is the active pursuit of that mistrust into marginalizing and, you know, even harming certain groups. And we are now a group. All right, we are the non-believers, but we are definitely being labeled certain particular ways, saying, "Oh, you guys are no better than Hitler or Stalin or
Mao."
And I'm like, "Excuse me? Like, do you know anything about what I believe? Do you think I have anything in common with these guys except for the fact that Stalin said he didn't believe in God?" Oh my goodness, no. You don't think that there were a bunch of really crazy religious nuts too? I can name you many, one of them being Hitler. And if you don't think that he had any religious beliefs, did you even realize the kind of insanity this man had towards the occult, towards, like, you know, strange myths and stuff like that? This was not an individual that had a rational mind. No, 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 no. Just because you don't, you know, just because you've rejected God doesn't automatically make you, you know, my type of atheist. It doesn't make you a good person or a bad person. It just immediately says that you have a particular view about the cosmos, i.e., there ain't no driver at the, you know, behind the wheel. But that is it. That is the only thing we share in common. I don't even have his crazy mustache. Or both of those man's crazy mustaches. You might as well blame mustaches. Mustaches cause evil.
I like it. I mean, there's a lot of proof out there. Probably more proof than Rick Warren had about the whole.
Well, look
no
at Jose Canseco.
Thing.
Didn't even have a doesn't he have a mustache and he's an evil man?
I think he goes through phases where he does and doesn't. So, again, but he's always a dick. So I don't know. We're gonna have to test this thesis up against.
Sure it's just as solid as the atheist thesis, though. Of course.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because that stuff is just absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that we have to start paying attention is we got to really pay attention to these guys a little bit more. And, you know, it turns out Tony put his focus on atheists, but it could have been anybody. It could have been, you know, Muslims. It could have been Jews. It could have been anybody that just, you know, he wanted to pick a bone with.
But here's the crazy thing is you can pretty much, we hear this story about this guy doing this, and honestly, you could have showed me YouTube videos of anybody, and I would have been like, yeah, I can believe that they went off and killed somebody, because for the most part, these people that are doing all these YouTube videos, it's all pretty weird.
It is a little bit of a weird subculture. I've really tried to stay away from it as far as, you know, I'm concerned. I look at it once in a while when there's an interesting or stupid video that a person puts up. But generally, I find that these kind of conversations are just utterly meaningless and pointless. Like, is everyone trying to convince already, you know, sort of like steadfast beliefs, you know, of people? Like, are you trying to convince them of something else? I don't think that you're.
Well, it reminds me of this ridiculous dance-off where the two crews are obviously, they have their own sides picked, and they're just like, hey, whoa, see you beat that man. And it doesn't matter what the other team does, your team still won in your mind. So that's the whole problem with YouTube. And goddamn, is it just the haven of just people who are unfortunate in their beliefs and thought systems. I mean, read a YouTube comment and it will make you weep for the state of Earth.
Well, you know, I've said this before, that everyone is entitled to their opinions, but doesn't mean that opinion is well deserved. You know, I can have, if you come over to me and you have an illness, I can have an opinion as to what that illness is, but I strongly recommend you seek a medical opinion, because that a person who is a doctor has a much more professional and trained brain to be able to handle those kinds of opinions. Why does anyone think it's something, you know, it might be different about things like philosophy, things like science, things like, even theology? I mean, there are going to be those people whose opinions are simply going to be stronger and more educated than yours. Doesn't mean you're not entitled to yours, but don't suddenly think that, you know, your opinion is so grand simply because you have one. You know, good for you. You have the basic qualifications of being human. You have an opinion. That's a good start. Now, make sure your opinion is good, you know, before you start telling other people about it and spewing all your gums this way and that way. I mean, maybe I'm guilty of the same thing. I don't know. At least I'd like to think that I put some thought behind the things that come out of my mouth.
You did a little bit of research today, didn't you?
I did, except for I messed up the name of the Roman emperor. But I'll edit that out. They'll never know I messed up that name. You know, you may even hear sort of like a...
No, you can't.
Me overdubbing it really terribly.
You honestly can't tell people that we're editing this thing up, because otherwise they're going to think, holy crap, that's the shit, that's the wrong stuff that gets through. What doesn't get through? So this stuff is not edited that much.
Come on. Whenever we need to do at least the minor things so that they don't have long pauses. Let's say this. I will eliminate the long pause.
You will eliminate the flushing toilet, the meowing cat, the stove going off, the phone ringing, all of these things that happen to us 5,000 times a radio show. That's pretty much it. I don't think you've ever edited out anything stupid that I've said, have you?
No, only just because of the tremendous amount of effort it would be to filter out stupid things come out of your mouth.